Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This week's podcast is sponsored by Product Marketing Core, PMA's very own product marketing certification program. With 11 modules, 68 chapters, 87 exam questions, over 10 hours worth of learning, and an official PMA certification, Product Marketing Core covers the A to Z of product marketing essentials, and it isn't to be missed. For more information, head to pmmalliance.co/PMMC. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Beth Borg, Director of Product Marketing at Appify. Beth specializes in a range of areas, including product marketing, sales and field enablement, field marketing, demand gen, content creation, strategy, and many more. Thanks so much for joining me, Beth.
Thanks, Lawrence. Happy to be here.
Oh, and we're happy to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Would it be possible to start off just for you to give us a brief insight into your current role at Appify, please?
Sure. So I actually am pretty new to Appify. So I joined the team a couple months ago, and it is a very small startup. So a Series A startup specializing in a no-code platform for the mobile workforce. And we define that as being, you know, basically anyone who's out in the field doing work. And we're designing, you know, a bunch of different software apps to make their jobs easier and basically move them into the digital age.
Okay, that sounds great. And what is it that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
You know, it's funny. I fell into it by accident a little bit. You know, my career in marketing and in high tech has spanned 20 years. I officially, I think, became one of the product marketing rank and file, you know, members about 10 years ago, I would say now. So about half my career has been kind of more in the product marketing role. And really, it became that way because I joined Adobe halfway through my career. And the way that things are structured, they are a little bit different than maybe a more typical product marketing role at a, you know, small to medium sized company. And so when you work under one of the products themselves, instead of under the corporate marketing umbrella, you basically, everyone becomes a product marketer because you're working directly for one product. And so you may be doing different jobs underneath that umbrella, but you all kind of roll up under the product marketing, you know, you kind of all roll up under the product marketing team. So it happened sort of by accident that way. And, you know, when I first joined that company, I was actually doing a lot of different things, not even product marketing related. But when you have that title, it becomes, you know, sort of a different thing, whether, you know, depending on what company you're at, basically.
Okay. And since that initial exposure into product marketing, can you talk us through your almost like your career path from then until now?
Sure. Yeah. So when I first started out, you know, my career has spanned 20 years. It's taken me from Silicon Valley back to the East Coast and then back to Silicon Valley. So I've been, you know, I focused around in different areas. As you said before, I used to do demand gen and field marketing. I've done evangelism. I've done partner marketing, competitive strategy, industry marketing, and more recently have, you know, run analyst relations and communications and PR. And so what I like about product marketing is, you know, I kind of look at marketing as two different sides. There's sort of the field and demand gen side, and where you're really working directly with the sales team and the go-to-market team. And then there's more of the corporate marketing side, where, you know, you're really about the brand and thought leadership and, you know, looking at that side of the house. And what I kind of like about product marketing is it actually toes the line. You work with both sides and probably on some level fall more into the corporate marketing side of the house versus maybe more of the typical demand gen, but you really need both skill sets to be successful. And so because I've had sort of all different sides of marketing, it kind of became a natural fit in a way for me to come in and then really hone in on, okay, now that you've done and worked for all these different types of tech companies, and you know, I worked for very small companies of 10 people where I was a team of one in marketing, up to, you know, Adobe, like I said, which is the biggest company I've worked for. And you get a really good sense of how to market and what the product really means and how to do that. And that's really essential for, you know, a successful product marketer. So I think, you know, the background and culmination of all these different jobs kind of naturally pushed me in this direction.
Yeah, sure. I can imagine as well, when, I mean, with, you know, in excess of 20 years experience, and as you say, working from, you know, Adobe, you know, a massive company, and then, you know, going with a more startup, you know, smaller company, that you've picked up different skills, and you've always been able to, in many ways, like, pop everything together. You know, you've taken one skill from one place, you know, and then mixed it with another skill from another place. But what would you say you've noticed, almost like your core skill as a product marketing specialist would be, that you've picked up along the way, if you had to pinpoint one area of product marketing?
Yeah, I think the common thread has really been the writing. You know, every company has a slightly different style. You have different buyers, obviously different products, but it's really essential to get down in the weeds when, you know, every day is part of my job, and write about, you know, the product, and writing to make sure that you're writing to these, you know, the essential person who's going to buy. So the buyer personas and the use cases and your target industries or target lines of business. And something that I think is essential for any marketer is writing. So it's a natural kind of fit there. It definitely is the common thread for sure.
Okay. Awesome. And if there is such a thing, I mean, I ask this question time and time again. I'm sure that the listeners will be very familiar with this question. And if it isn't something that applies, then by all means, just shoot me down. But is there such thing as a standard day for a product marketer? And if so, what does this look like?
Not a bad question, but I would say, you know, it's funny. In my role right now at Appify, there is no typical day. You know, I would say more commonly is typical conversations I have with, you know, different team members. So, you know, I probably talk to someone on the sales side every day, someone in customer success every day. So the interactions are, you know, are very common. But in terms of having a, you know, a typical day, there is no typical day. But, you know, in a bigger company where you have more of a focus area, it probably is a little bit different. One of the things I did notice is, you know, when I was at Adobe, for example, I was on a team of, you know, we focus really, really solely around kind of enabling the field and sales enablement, field enablement. But that was the team, I was on a team of 4 to 5, but we were on a greater team inside the greater product marketing group of 40 that scaled to about 80 people while I was there over several years. And those 80 people, you know, there were certain people that focused just on the trial of the product, and others that focus just around the pricing of how to price the product. And, you know, others that focus just on the website, for example. And so we had all these different specialized areas, and then your day becomes a lot more typical because you have much more of a focus. However, you know, you have to, now that I've transitioned back into startup world, which I did a few years ago, and I've worked at a couple different Series A startups since then, you have to know about all of it. And so the days aren't typical like they would be maybe at a more structured place, but you have to know about everything so that you can, you know, structure it accordingly when you need to. But yeah, there's no real typical day.
Okay. And to be fair, that's almost like a pattern that I'm coming across. The more product marketers that I speak to, it sounds like, nope, there's absolutely no pattern whatsoever. And it, you know, I suppose it's really, isn't it?
because after all, we don't want to be going into work every day knowing exactly what's around the corner. We need a little bit of excitement, shall we say.
That's true. It makes it more fun and exciting for sure.
Absolutely. So in terms of your current team that you're working with at Appify, can you just let us know a little bit more about what that looks like in terms of numbers and roles within the team itself?
Yeah. So as I said, we're a Series A company, so we're small and growing. We've raised about $12 million to date. I'm a team of two in marketing. So when I joined the team, we doubled in size, which was fun and interesting because I had previously been at another Series A company that went to Series B. And when I joined, I was a team of one, and then they scaled up to about five. So at that company, I actually did have a team. I was in charge of, much more on the corporate marketing side. So even though I had a product marketing title, I had a designer working for me, a graphic designer. I had a writer reporting under me. We had an intern, and I had also marketing operations reporting under me for a while. So it was a very different setup because, as I said, a smaller company, you just, you make it work. Here, as the director right now, I have no direct reports at the moment. I see that changing as we grow and get bigger. And we'll see about, that timeline into next year. But the team itself is, very heavily focused around engineering and sales. There's about 50 or so employees total. So, a majority of them obviously in engineering. And I now have a counterpart on the product marketing side, who's a product manager that I work with directly. And I work with my counterpart in marketing. So again, we're pretty segmented in that way. He's definitely more focused on the field marketing and lead gen side, whereas I'm more on the corporate marketing side. And then we interface, especially myself, very heavily with the sales teams and the go-to-market side, as well as our customer success team. So we've really been, one of my main focuses right now is really getting to the heart of our customer and telling their stories.
Okay. And that actually lends quite nicely onto the next question then. So in terms of the teams outside of marketing, so say for instance, sales, products, operations, et cetera, which departments would you say that you interact with most, and what is your relationship with them like?
Very much on, now that I do have a counterpart in on the product side, that's been great. So I've, ever since I started, which obviously again was only 2 months ago, but my main, so I report right now to the CEO, Jen Grant. She's our amazing CEO, and she used to be a CMO. So she, in her previous life, she was a chief marketing officer at a couple different companies. And so there is a lot of interaction with the executive team because of her background as well. And that's a big part of my day right now is, I'll have weekly conversations with our CTO, who's our co-founder. I have weekly conversations with the product manager as well. And what's interesting about that is we have a big team in India. So there is, kind of the late night calls on their side or early morning calls to make sure that we're aligning to each other's time zones. And then of course, interacting with sales and customer success, as well as the rest of the go-to-market team. So even, there's a lot of work with the inside sales and kind of business development teams as well, as they're, crafting emails and reaching out to customers. There's a lot of, I work with them quite a bit, and we do now internal, more formal trainings with the go-to-market side of the house to make sure that they're trained up on all things product marketing.
Yeah, that's encouraging to hear that there is so much collaboration within the company to make sure that product marketing isn't just there. It isn't just a box tick exercise to make sure that product marketing is always developing, it's always evolving. So it's always nice to hear that it's almost like a function that's being
invested in, really, particularly at a startup as well?
It is. And it's very much a very typical product marketing role because even though we're a small company, we have a big need for really defining all of our different products and apps that we offer, as well as kind of who we're selling to. So there's a big opportunity with our company, one of the reasons I joined. And it really is about segmenting out all the different areas that we sell to and the different people. So we're selling to very small companies up to enterprise, and we're selling both to, you know, the buyer on the business side, as well as an IT role. And so you really do need someone to come in and help segment out the messages, the buyers, the use cases, and really put together a very targeted content for each of those audiences.
Okay. And I mean, but, you know, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, so it's absolutely not a dream world by any means. But in a dream world, is there anything about those relationships that you change within your company at all?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, the pandemic notwithstanding. Because I joined 2 months ago, I have never met a lot of my team members in person. So I would definitely change that. You know, I think I really love working with the team in India. They're so smart and really great to work with. Of course, I would love to, you know, be able to interact with them in person. I think you can just glean so much more from each other when you have those opportunities. Obviously, the pandemic is challenging in many ways. One of them being that, you know, that FaceTime that you don't have right now. And like, I've never met my boss. You know, that would be probably the only thing I would change. Otherwise, you know, I think it's a pretty symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I can see exactly what you mean, to be fair. I mean, I started here at PMA in April. And we have a team in here in London, in Manchester. We've got a team in London, and we literally, it's very, very, well, it's identical. You know, all the guys there in London, I feel like I've known them for a long, long time, but at the same time, I've never actually met them in person. So I can totally empathize with you on that level. It is very challenging.
Yeah. It's definitely, so you would totally understand. I think it's just, it takes a little bit longer to establish that level of trust. But, you know, this is probably something that we'll see more and more as the shift with a global pandemic turns more companies into remote work or, you know, roles. And so I think it's something we'll just have to kind of deal with. And you know, I think the sales side, they're used to being more territory-based and kind of out of the loop in terms of not being tied to an office. And so I think we can learn a lot from our friends and colleagues over on that side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And looking at specific skills that you have used throughout your career so far, what would you say the top three are that have helped you to get where you are today? And, you know, which ones have you almost like relied on throughout your 20-year career so far?
Yeah. So aside from kind of the hard skills that you need really good, you know, reading, writing, and, you know, grammar, spelling, all that stuff with writing is super important. You know, it's really hard to write content if you know, just aren't that good of a writer, obviously. And editing is a huge part of my job as well. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, especially at even a small company, you get submissions from different folks on the team and, you know, editing down and, you know, working with content that you didn't create takes a certain type of person to really just hone in and, you know, kind of make it your own or not make it your own, you know, keep it in that person's voice. And I've done, you know, for example, a lot of ghostwriting. But in terms of the softer skills, it's really more about, for me anyway, what I've found to be that has brought me success is one, to be transparent. You know, I'm not a different person in the office or at work than I am in my personal life. You know, what you see is what you get. very open and honest with everything that's been, you know, that's going on. I think we need a little bit more of that, especially in a pandemic. Everyone's dealing with different things that we may or may not even be aware of. Accountability, you know, really just taking responsibility for what you do and how you do it. And then having empathy as well, which I found as being a boss helped a lot. So, you know, I'm not a person that rules with an iron fist or anything like that. It's more of a, you know, let's make it a common goal that we're all moving towards. And I think if you can get people, you know, behind you in that way and wanting, if you want everyone to succeed and they want to succeed just as much, that's when you really do have true success. Not, you know, scaring people or leading by fear. It's really about, you know, let's all come together and do this together.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to be pulling in the same direction. Ultimately it's just going to make the task at hand 10 times harder. If you're not being transparent, if you're not holding yourself accountable for your actions, if you're not showing empathy towards others, and eventually, if you are in a senior position and you lack those skills, people won't respect you for it. So three really important features and that you've highlighted and you brought to the table, I feel there, absolutely. So in terms of the crossover between what you do and what a PM does at your company, could you just take us through that a little bit? Is there crossover between your role and what the PM does at Appiphany?
There's not a lot of crossover at the moment. I think that's changing now that I've been hired and we have a product marketing, a product manager role as well. So I think it depends on the company, but right now, because we have a team in India that's very heavily engineering and the PM sits over there as well, he's really interacting with that team more directly and on a daily basis, whereas then I will interact with him, I will interact with our CTO and some others as well on the team. But there is a pretty clear delineation between our two roles, mostly because, then I sit on the other side so I can interact with sales and the business development and kind of the go-to-market side. Because of, I think, also just time zones and being in different countries, it does make it a little bit more clearly marked there.
Okay. And in terms of, where the role of a PM and a PMM, just looking at that, from your perspective, where do you see that beginning and ending at the company? And do you think there should be lines in terms of their responsibilities?
Yeah. So the way I've kind of always thought about it is sort of the same way I approach collateral development or assets. It's funny. Being at these smaller companies and joining, early stage, there's like a set of, kind of a starter pack of, say, collateral and assets that you would need to develop, right? So you need, the solution brief on the company and then the product data sheet. And I kind of look at those things as complementary to each other. You know, the solution brief is kind of the business focused overview of the company, meant for a non-technical audience. And then the product data sheet would be sort of the overview that you would give for the technical person. And I look at product marketing and product management very similarly. So I have a more of a business focused role and the PM has more of a technical focused role. And so we basically complement each other. I don't come from a technical background at all. So, I came from a creative background in college. So having someone with the technical background really helps me because then it's my job to say, okay, based on, the requirements that you've given me and what we know about the product and what it can do and who's buying it, it's my job to then translate all that technical kind of jargon into something that the buyer understands. And a good PMM will come in and do that translation, successfully and effectively. So I look at them very separate, but almost two sides of the same coin.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Yeah, absolutely. So what does it, in terms of just looking at the actual process of actually introducing new products and features, what does the process itself look like at your current company? And how does this compare to previous places where you've been working?
Yeah, so obviously my, you know, it's going to be very different from sort of some past experiences. You know, because of our size, it's not as much of a formal process, but there is like the typical planning and communication, internal training, product rollout, you know, et cetera, that's typical of like, you know, obviously a typical product launch. But, you know, whereas at Adobe, I was at Adobe at a time where things were transitioning from, you know, more of a package typical software offering to the cloud. And so I went from working on a team there that was doing product launches every 2 years, which is a very different thing than doing product launches every 6 weeks with a cloud product. And so now obviously everything's cloud, everything's moving. And, you know, at Appify, we're all cloud-based here, just as every company is now, of course. And so it's a very different type of process. And for a larger, you know, for a larger product launch, there is, you know, communication. We work with PR. We'll eventually be working with analysts and others externally as well. But a lot of it right now is working with the early customers and the product team to really figure out, okay, what exactly is this product? What is it going to look like? Doing some more formal trainings for the internal side, you know, kind of the sales enablement side. And then figuring out how to launch it, and you know, using the website as our sounding board there for sure.
Okay, and just looking at product marketing on almost like a grand scale, if you like. I mean, it's, you know, whilst, you know, 2020 has been, you know, just an absolute kamikaze year, really. You know, product marketing it's enjoyed a great a greatly successful 12 months. You know, more people are staying in the industry, more people want to enter the industry. But in your opinion, is there anything that needs to change about product marketing to make it even better than it already is?
You know, I was thinking about this question before we chatted today. And, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, in my role right now, working at a startup and in previous startups I've been at, you know, the product marketing role becomes a much bigger than just typical product marketing. And I think anyone who's worked at a smaller company, even a medium-sized company, can probably is laughing along with me because they know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, I was in previous roles, I've interacted with analysts, I've run PR, I've, you know, overseen our corporate branding, you know, because as I mentioned earlier, product marketing kind of toes the line between sort of that corporate side and more the field side. There probably needs to be a lot more alignment with the rest of, especially the corporate marketing side. I think too often we think of those things as very separate. But because I've been at smaller companies where I've had to, you know, oversee both sides, it's actually made me a stronger product marketer because I'm thinking about one, what are we delivering today, but what do we want to deliver tomorrow? And on the evangelism side, on the thought leadership side, really thinking from a product marketing perspective, how we can position our company. Right now, I'm excited to be at Appify to position our company as one, you know, a leader in kind of a new way of thinking for software with our no-code platform. But also, you know, thinking about it from positioning our company as a thought leader and you know, a early entry into the space, but also then thinking about it from the side of we're actually delivering real value to our customers today too, and how do I tell that story today? So it's a fun area to be in because I get to play in both areas where, you know, like typically that would be more of the CEO or CMO's role to, you know, okay, I'm going to talk to analysts about what we're doing 18 to 24 months out. And over here on product marketing side, they're just talking about what we delivered yesterday or what we're delivering tomorrow. But one of the reasons I like being at, you know, a smaller company, and especially in startups, is that you get to play in both spaces.
Okay. And last but by no means least, because it has been a really riveting chat, I've really enjoyed speaking with you. But just to round things off, Beth, if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening, what would your advice to them be to make sure that they get the most out of their experience as a product marketer?
Yeah, so I really like this question, partially because it depends on the, you know, my advice would be different depending on the company that you're at. I remember being at Adobe, for example, and when we had a change in management, you know, someone came in and said, well, you know, where would you want to focus if you could have your choice? And I didn't realize that at that time I was being asked exactly what I wanted my next job to be. And because I hadn't had a chance to think about it, I also was like, wait a minute, I don't even know what's available, like what's on the table, you know? And so I think what I learned from that was to really ask a lot of questions early on, especially in your career. And if you're at a company, you know, a bigger company, as I said, the idea of you may not have oversight or responsibility for every single aspect of product marketing. You may only be focused on one or two areas. Really get a chance to know and learn about the other areas as well. You know, as I said, sometimes you're just focused on the trial or pricing or, you know, maybe a key buyer persona or use case, but asking a lot of questions, attending all the meetings and listening as much as you can to learn, because later on when you're asked to do the entire piece and oversee the entire product launch, you can't just sit back and say, well, I only know how to do pricing, or I only know how to do, you know, the communication side, or I've only done the website. And so I think that's what I've taken away from this is, you know, I've been lucky to work at both small and large companies. And that skill set that you develop at each one is super important for, you know, taking on a bigger role and having more success later on in your career.
Yeah, it's almost like just like cast the net almost and, you know, just pick up any skills that you can along the way, just grab anything.
Right. Yeah. And if it seems interesting, volunteer. Most of the time they'll say yes. And if they say no, then you can ask why, but it never hurts to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Beth, it's been, you know, great having you on the show, and all the very best for 2021.
Yeah. Thanks, Lawrence. And everyone, happy new year.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.